Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hello, good morning, good morning, good morning, Facebook, as well as our viewers and listeners. Oh my goodness, this is a wonderful day to be alive, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Every day is wonderful to be alive. Absolutely. But welcome, welcome, everybody, to Soulful Solutions. I am Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, the producer of The Female Solution. And we have an interviewer today on trauma and victory and resilience. So I'm excited about that. I love hearing stories of how we got over.
Definitely.
How we got over. So I know you've known her prior, and I'm just meeting her. So what would you want to tell the viewers and listeners a little bit before she comes on?
But before I bring on Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, let me give you a little bit of background about this sister. She has an amazing spirit. She, of course, is one of those rare souls that remembers before the time she was born. She remembers making the decision to come into a challenging life She remembers the time in her mother's womb. She remembers being an infant and still being connected to the other realm and still expecting that people on this side of the veil, as they call it, would be able to communicate with her telepathically. But then she discovered, oh, they can't do that. They can't communicate mind to mind and soul to soul. So I've got to learn how to speak these words. She remembers all of that. She remembers that process. And she remembers agreeing to come into a challenging life that would help her with her spiritual growth. And so she came into a family that had some challenges from the from a mother who was too passive to protect her from the assaults of her father, to a society that was very attacking and cruel. As a woman of dark complexion, she went through the racism and colorism, and still she had an indomitable spirit, highly intelligent, educated. She studied psychology in college and then realized that the psychology of today is limited because it doesn't connect us to the spirit. And we are mind, body, and spirit. And so she went through several marriages with men who, of course, were troubled and had various addictions and behavior disorders, and managed to raise a wonderful daughter. And still, in spite of the challenges of life, keep her unbroken spirit, even in the face of what has been very common, unfortunately, in our community, diabetes, which results in too many cases of amputation. So she ended up being a double amputee. And still she continued in her profession of spiritual counseling and advising, and has been a source of comfort. She's had a long-running show on cable television. She found an organization called Sisters in the Spirit. And she also was able to, even in the launching of our show, The Female Solution, be one of my first co-hosts of this show and bringing spiritual light and awareness to a global audience. She, of course, is one who has not been broken. And she finally found a wonderful man who became her life partner, her husband, who stood by her side even when she went through a coma for about 6 months, and not knowing, you know, when you're in a coma, you never know, are you going to make it, not make it, should we pull the plug, should we, you know, should we start funeral arrangements? But he stayed by her side and was there through that traumatic experience. And then recently, you know, she sent him to the store to pick up something and didn't see him for a couple of days. What happened? Where'd he go? And then she got a knock on the door from the police saying her husband had been killed suddenly in a hit-and-run accident.
Jesus.
And
trauma
after trauma after trauma. She spent months, she had spent months in a rehab center, and then after coming home to have this happen to her husband, it was just overwhelming. So now, of course, she's in the process of making funeral arrangements, and we're going to make sure we steer our listeners and viewers to her Facebook page where you can be a part of that process of getting those funds. But she continues to even in a wheelchair, stand tall and not be broken by trauma after trauma after trauma. And she said that the key to it is to know who you are as a spirit, as a soul, as an eternal being. We are not the bodies we're in. We are beyond that. And when we know that, we can overcome any challenge.
Yes.
And so Minister Cynthia Marie Williams is one who we should know and certainly be inspired by, because she continues to even counsel and consult with others and help them through their trauma, even as she faces this latest challenge of the loss of her life partner, her husband, Michael Williams. So we look forward to an inspirational message today from Minister Cynthia Marie Williams.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so I'm just going to let all my viewers know, and Facebook watchers, don't miss this show. This is going to bless you, because we've all went through some type of trauma in our life, disappointments, hardships, all of these things, but one thing that we do know, that we were born with this thing called resilience. And that resilience is, it is something that's inside of us that keeps us going no matter what, no matter what happens. And when we put light on that, which means when we allow it to do its greatest work, it will move through mountains. It will move through deep valleys of different things. And the things that you would think that would destroy you would turn around and build you up into a fortress unrecognizable to even yourself. And that's the greatest thing about triumphant stories, that, you know, turn around to be victorious. That's what I mean, you know, it's a process. And we ask ourselves, you know, why must we go through the hardship of life? You know, we don't want to feel that. No one wants to feel pain in no
Absolutely.
Degree. And no degree. No, we got problems with a paper cut.
Yeah.
You know, you get that paper cut and that thing hurt like the dickens. I'm like, oh my God, will it ever heal?
Yes. And you can't think of anything else except that one part of your finger that's cut. The rest of your body feels fine, but you focus on that pain because that's
that
what's got
pain.
Your attention. Yes.
And that's the way our minds are. Our minds is built upon focusing on those areas that are so, we feel at that particular time, overwhelming to us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, it's parts of us. And then you ask certain questions like, what about people that don't allow that resilience to do its greatest work? And they crumble and they self-destruct, they self-defeat, they self-sabotage. What's the difference between them and a person like Resentia?
Well, you know,
it just makes you wonder.
That's a question. Well, if you're ready, we can bring her on and maybe
let's just talk to that beautiful woman. Yes, I want to know.
All right. Well, Grand Rising and welcome to our show today.
Grand Rising and peace and blessings to both of you, ladies. My sisters in the spirit of love, peace, and joy as we travel on this soul journey. I love you both. And Naima, what can I say, my darling? But, oh, my God, kudos, and congratulations to your award that you received not too long ago. You deserve the girl. You worked hard. And Dr. Green, when I first heard this show, Spirit had me call in one Thursday, and I heard your voice and listened to your show, and I found it very inspiring.
Oh, yes. Dr. Debbie is definitely my personal therapist. I get my therapy session every Thursday.
Yes. Soul journey.
Yes.
Woman of soul journey. Ooh. My insight is just bursting. My prophetic side is just overwhelming me right now.
Mm.
Just to hear your voice, Grand Rising Soldier. You are such the warrior in you. You are such the warring spirit. I mean, from ancestors of warriors. Look at you.
Yes.
You made it.
Dr. Green, you're overwhelming for me. I tell you, girlfriend, you got it, girlfriend. We all are. We birds of a feather flocking together right now this morning. And I pray that other souls are listening in and enjoying this, because even though we may not physically know each other, we are all souls here coming from the creative universe. I say the source. And however you may name the source, God, Allah, Jehovah God, Yahweh, however, it's the source of the energy that we all come from in our spirit energy connection, our soul personalities that we incarnate. And I'll validate that, because when I start writing it, if I ever get this book done, Naima, I'll talk about that soul personality that we incarnate. That's a fact. And nobody has to tell me that, because I remember, as you said, I was given the obligation and the responsibility, and I'm humbled to that, to have a tremendous memory of life experience. I remember my mother said something to me. She said, how do you remember that? You were a baby.
Amazing.
We are really bonded. And I thank you both.
Yes. Well, you know,
amazing.
Well, Dr. Debbie had asked the question, and maybe you had the answer. What's the difference between a spirit like yourself that is just unbreakable, just indomitable, just not daunted by all of life's tremendous challenges, and those who just give up, they just don't have the will to continue, and they can't pull themselves up. They crumble at adversity. What's the difference between your spirit and a spirit like that? What is the ingredient that you have that they're missing?
Well, let me raise my hand that at one point in my life, when I was 20, I was suicidal and what they call clinically depressed. And what happened to me coming in as a child and being told I was peculiar because I had this tremendous intelligence. And then, like you said, I love that scenario. I had to learn that these people on this human level, being called human, did not do telepathic conversations. I was used to doing that. So I would look around as a child, that's why we pay attention to children now. I'm looking around and I'm having difficulty communicating to those around me, especially this was my grandmother I found out. And I was just so frustrated. And I will call them the Ascended Masters, and that's what Mama Adrian Phoenix calls them. They were part of my experience on the other side. And they were talking to me, because I was very frustrated in coming into this world. I wasn't used to not using the telepathic problems that we have. And so I learned how to speak, how to use this mouth. And ever since then, I've been running my mouth.
Using it ever since.
Girl, please. That's why I did Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Because I'm telling you, I laugh at myself. Because that was the one thing when I did learn how to speak. I was just running my mouth forever. But here we go. I'm going through all these professions when you verbalize your oral. But here we go. Get back to your question. When you recognize that you are truly more than the flesh, see, they talk about this in religion, but they really don't teach what that means. You are, as I was told by those women on the West Side when I was 20, that helped me to come up out of my, oh, I would say back then they called it a nervous breakdown at 20. So I'm crying out to God. I'm crying out to the source to help me. And I was connected with them and from Mississippi and Alabama. This is part of our cultural history as African descended people. We've forgotten about that. Those women were from Mississippi, Alabama, and they called them spiritual leaders. And they told me that I had been born with a veil. Now, I've already been in 16, 15, very smart, been to college and all that kind of stuff, University of Illinois, University of Chicago. But all that brilliancy, I needed to be connected to women like this. They didn't have any PhDs. They were just down home Mississippi, Alabama women. And I was led to them, and they said to me, baby, you're okay. There's nothing wrong with you. God loves you, and you are gifted. This is your gift. You are to use it to help other people. And they educated me. Remember, now, these ladies barely had eighth grade education. But they were born themselves with the gifts and the understanding, what the Europeans call psychic. All of this stuff, these women were fabulous. And we've forgotten that in our cultural history. That is, and there were men like that also. But Chicago, they used to say Chicago was northern Mississippi. Okay. But everybody in Mississippi has moved to Chicago. You have all these fabulous people back in the day that lived here, and these women were here on the West Side, which we need to get back to that. Back to nature, my maybe always talks about where walk around without feet or feel the earth and the vibration of the earth. But this is what helps me is what helped me, and I'm able to do as we're supposed to, teach others, tell by my example, my life, and also the resiliency that we can make it through this tragic, how can I put it, tragic, dramatic human being life, to encourage one another. And I was helping me go along too. There were others. There were not black. There were Caucasian women in support groups that I learned about that helped me to understand that I didn't have to live this dramatic life, that I could also find peace in a quote-unquote higher power, and that is God. And without even insulting anybody's religious beliefs, and I like that. I call it the source now that created all things in the universe. And I do appreciate the fact that I'm here on this telephone right now with you guys sharing, and hopefully someone will be encouraged. And right now, with the loss of the human partner I had, Michael Williams, and I do miss him. My first time as a widower. I'm a divorcee, but this is my first time as a widower. I want to put ESS on it with the rest of the whole. Everything's always male, isn't it? But anywho, I miss him. And that physical body contact that we have with people as humans is can be torn, because we lose children, we lose mothers, we lose fathers. And I want to share a psychic incident that my husband and I had. One Sunday, he went to church, and I'm here at the house, and all of a sudden, I felt this horrible cutting tear in missing him. It was a physical tear. I did not know it at that time. So when he came home, I asked him, I said, you know, I really, really missed you. I said, did you feel the same way? He said, yes. So that was the precursor to the fact that you and I will not be together. No, I did not get a vision. I did not get an instinct that it was going to happen the following Sunday. Wow.
But that's when it happened.
I felt that Sunday, the tear, like a knife cutting between us, and that I really, really missed it. He said he told it too. So we are connected to one another as being called human. And that psychic connection, if you want to put it that way, is there. That's why it's so difficult for people to sometimes, and we must support each other, get over the loss.
Absolutely.
Of someone. Or something. Some people love their animals, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people, they don't realize the depth of the connection to someone who is a spouse. It is a soul tie that doesn't leave once that person departs. It's a psychic connection. It's a spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. And it can feel devastating when that person leaves. You know, it is a very, it's unlike even losing a parent, you know, because you do have that sort of grief when, you know, a mother or a father passes away. Generally, especially if they're older, you've kind of prepared yourself, even though it's still painful to lose them, because it's like losing your foundation. But then your life partner, that's such an aspect of yourself. The loss does feel like losing a limb sometimes, like, you know, losing a leg or losing an arm. You know, you feel like a part of you is gone. And yet, as a spiritual person, you realize that the psychic connection is still there, even though he's in another realm right now. You're still connected. So that's challenging. Not having that physical presence.
Yes. And he visited me being born with a veil, Dr. Green. When they told me that, I didn't know what they meant by that. Being born with a veil. You know, with all this education and intelligence. And we do come in, some of us, and we have very mentally astute. We really are very intelligent beings. We were given that gift. But to be told I was born with a veil, well, what does that mean? He said that means that, baby, you can see. You have been given gifts.
That's exactly what it means.
And
the Native Americans call it second sight. You know, when you can see beyond this dimension and to the other dimensions, and you can sometimes see those who have crossed over and, you know, unseen, you know, and you have, you know, psychic abilities, high intuitive abilities, you know, and sometimes we see it in our children early, but if parents don't understand it, they can kind of suppress it, like, oh, you're just imagining things. Oh, don't talk about that. You know, so then you just learn to not talk about it because people around you are frightened by it or, you know, like Minister Cynthia, you're called peculiar, so you just not share what you know.
Well, it's grand insight, and it's I'm sure it's not coincidence or even happenstance that we are talking about this this morning because I was born at home. I was born in a small town called Camden, South Carolina, and my mother had a midwife. You know, during that time, it was like a midwife. It really wasn't officially a midwife like it is now, you know what I'm saying? But it was like an older family member that brought me into the world. And one of those things I do remember my mother telling me, she said, you know, you came with a veil over your face. Mm. And I often asked her, I said, what did that mean? She said, well, when you were in the womb and when they pulled you out, there was, it almost looks as though it's a covering. It's a covering around the shaft, around the upper part of the face, and that part has to be removed. And it's like, you know, it's not so much a peeling off, but it's almost like a rolling back.
Wow.
And that, she said, because my mother is, you know, very close to Native American, and with that being said, you know, she often was extremely prophetic. She knew things before, you know, they would happen. And to this very day, you know, I've been like this since I know myself. I feel things, I know things, I see things that, you know, I often don't even talk about because of the intensity that it is that some people claim today in our psychiatric or psychology type atmosphere world. That it will be a strange thing. Of course, it looks like it's like your medium or clairvoyance or a psychic ability to see past just the natural realm, you know. And that is, like you said, I use that in my profession to help people as well as my ministry to help and assist me and to help heal, help soothe, and help bring back to a posture of life, because a lot of times, again, we get stuck in different mentally, emotionally, as well as spiritually, and grounded in certain areas of our life patterns, and we relive and experiences. Something could have happened in our past life. We will cycle back through those things, and you know, and it's a similar, very similar act, a very similar behavior. But it is a different time zone. That's what it is. It's all about different time zones. So when I counsel and I help people to understand exactly, I say, okay, let's go back and look in your timeline, and you will see the same pattern of things. And as you see the same pattern, then that will give you the answer and most so the solution on how to handle the next cycle, because the goal is to break the cycle. The cycle of any dysfunction, any defective living that we may have. And the only reason it's extremely important to break it is because it cycles not just in our lives, but it also cycles in our children's lives and their children's lives. So someone has to break the cycle. So me saying that in this situation, everything that you have been through, believe it or not, at some given point, if we would look back, and I'm sure you may even know this, back into your lifetime, you'll see the physical, the mental, the emotional, and also the spiritual battle. Mm. But see, because of your lineage, woman of God, your lineage, which is your generational, what they call tagline, that's what I call it, a tagline, where everything that's already been established prior to you even coming to Earth. You know, you came in on your ancestors' back, believe it or not, and you're like, wow, you know, I'm going through all of this, but there is a point of reference that, it did not destroy me, but only make me to a point where I am alive in it. I am not running away from it, and I'm not allowing the fear of it to overtake my mind, but I know I have to keep going because there's a here, but there's also a there. You know what I'm saying? And all of us are reaching the there. When we get there, there's another there. So it continues to evolve over and over again. But the goal is to learn as we, like you said, you know, anytime we experience something, hardship, it is to learn from it. You know, because I'm going through a spiritual awakening right now, and I'm like, whoa, you know. It is something very challenging to me, and being that it's challenging to me, I'm not afraid of it, but it is dealing really with the spiritual realm. I mean, like, very,
Oh, yes.
One thing that I wanted to say as you're talking, since we are of the same caliber here, spiritually and gifted, and I do appreciate your description because I always wondered, how did I look? I never had a chance to ask anybody, even your mother, and you just described to me what it looks like to be born looking male. I used to wonder about it. Now you described it, but I wanted to share something in your conversation. As a therapist, is that in my coming here, see, that's another story. It's not as intellectually defined as you've described. My being on the other side was so fluid. It was so rhythmic. That I just was consciousness. I was awareness. Someone asked me, did I have a body? I said, no. It's like I woke up and I became aware of things. And the things that I saw with my vision was planets and stars. See, as you get older in this world, I learned language. I learned words to describe my experience. That's why I'm so behind Naeem and all the rest of my colleagues in writing a book. I guess one day I will have it written. But I'm so oral and so minimal. But the thing for me is, I'm sharing with you, no, there was no human definition of anything. Always for me in particular, it was always a soul journey, a spiritual energy journey. And I always felt detached from the human self that I became. It's like I dropped into this container, this body container, and that's what I teach people. We're spirit, soul, body, and we're spirit, energy of the universe. We're our souls, personalities, and reincarnate. Different life experiences as we go into different lives. But we drop into this body container, and we may look different. And see, my other part of my education is sociology. And we all may live together in certain communities. And then that's another thing I've always been fascinated by. Psychology, why do we think and behave like we do, and how we live together. But here's the point for me again. When I was dropped into this, I felt this weight. And that's what it was. I was just flying around and going here and there and everywhere, just as curious as I wanted to be. And when I wanted to go see who was the source. Let me put that here to you real quick. I'm looking at all of these things, stars, moons, planets. But then I felt, well, who or what created all of this? That was a conscious thought on my consciousness. So I went looking, curiosity, all over, and I tried to go somewhere in particular, and they would not let me in. Now, when you move to the next, then all of a sudden, I'm like, I guess I'm disappointed. And then that's the other thing, Naima. One of the things in being with you and listening to you as you analyze things and dissect, I had to be between lives to have some of these feelings, correct?
Yes.
Where did that come from?
Yes.
So I had to be between lives, and you kind of made me aware of that in your in our discussions over the years. So I was disappointed, and then I started looking around, and then all of a sudden I saw others going somewhere. In my curiosity, and I didn't kill a cat, but but I'm looking, and I'm like, well, I want to go where they're going. I didn't know where they were going. All I know is I wanted to go. I'm so nosy that I wanted to go there. So what I did was put that thought out there telepathically. Maybe we're going to do it back. And I will call them the Ascendant Masters because Mama AZ and Felix Alexander, she calls them that. And I asked her, but I use that term. Can't say angels. But these Ascended Masters at first said to me, it's not time now. That's a disappointment thing again. And then in the next split second, it's like they said, you can go now. It's time now. And here I go. You know, all this history on this. I accept the challenge. I wish I hadn't done that. I want when I got here, I wanted to go back. Now I understand too, guys.
You were ready for this challenge.
I accept the challenge. I didn't know what I was. I mean, I'm doing good on the other side. That was fun. Everything. And
yeah.
They had glasses over there too. But
yeah.
Ooh, that's what I said, Dr. Green.
This is a tough place, I tell you. This is a tough one.
I want to speak to something about that once we take a break.
Yeah.
Just looking at the choices, your human mind, especially more so your spirit, was making in that transition. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about that.
And we will be right back. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, just give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We got a caller in the queue now ready to speak, and we'll be right back with Mr. Cynthia.
Y'all better not move. Don't miss this.
All right.
Don't bless your spirit.
Yes.
Don't miss it.
Don't miss it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Solution. My name is Dr. Debbie Green, my wonderful co-host, Miss Naima Latif Isaac, the producer of The Female Solution. And we have our wonderful guest, Miss Cynthia Ware. Am I saying that correctly?
Cynthia Marie Williams.
Excuse me, Cynthia Marie Williams.
Yeah.
On a line. And that was just also her advertisement.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure for those who want a spiritual reading or any assistance in that area before, I'm going to go ahead and put that in a blocker so that we will be able to make that known so that you can contact, you know, Minister Williams for whatever needs you may have. Absolutely. So what I was asking, well, actually getting ready to comment on, is the amazing, and I call it amazing, but really it's the human gift that God has given us to make our choices intellectually, even in the spiritual realm, before we are even, you know, part of our earthly experience. One thing he never pulls, and that's the choice.
Mm.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, you know, asking questions, and these questions that we are asked, but most of all, to make decisions, all that requires the intellect. It requires a understanding, a God consciousness, what I call a Holy Spirit consciousness, to be totally aware of one's situation and to make a decision upon that. Like, what should I do? You know, what's the next move should I make? And, you know, given options, you know, we've been given options before, during, and after this lack pattern. So I think that's true. So when that is said, do you think you were given an option to come into the physical body at the particular timing that it was, or was that something you felt was chosen for you?
Well, the source, I think the source that I ever got, since I'm not the overseer, like, I'm not the overviewer, I'm not God, I'm not the source. All I know is that I was existing and conscious, and I can't say that I was part of that choice, too. I was given opportunity. We're all given, let me put it that way. We're all given opportunities to elevate to the highest level of spiritual soul expression. And I use the word that comes to me, become ethereal. We become just part of the conscious universe. And hopefully those of us who do grow to that level have, how can we put it, on the earthly level, positive consciousness when we become ethereal. I had somebody look it up, you know, what does that word mean? Because the Spirit gave it to me. We are going to become a part of the conscious universe. And presently, as we move through our own existence, we are going to elevate not only those of us who are here on this planet, called Earth, when we're going to elevate the creative universe. Now, let me say this. I don't have all the answers. I am an existence that was created. I'm trying to put this in the right language. I am an existence that was created, but I am not the source. So there's a certain level that I can go. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Naima. You going to say something? Who was that? I'm sorry.
Please.
See, some things you just, since I was not the source that created all of this or that, I can only go as far as my soul, spirit, soul can go in describing. But we are here in a hard life. Ooh, we know that. But we are to grow to the level of being a part of the universe in the consciousness to raise up the universe to the highest level possible. And that's, I say, positive and latitude. But it's so beyond that. I mean, come on, Jaima. Come on, jump on in, girl.
Well, I want to let our callers. Viewers, and we've got three callers on the line with their hands up. We want to go to our callers. And also we want to share with you Minister Cynthia Marie Williams' Facebook page where you can contribute to the memorial celebration for her husband, Michael. Just tap on, we're going to scroll down to his photo, you know, handsome man, tall, you know, handsome man there. So you go to her page, M-I-N, Minister, Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-I-T-H-I-A, Cynthia, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Williams. Yes. L-L-I
Michael Williams. You got a girl.
And you'll see her.
See, this is what we got to do, Vaughn. Flow with each other, you know? Come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
We may not be perfect. Remember those women had personalities, but they were committed to the work of God through their gifts, talents, and abilities. Let us do that, please.
Beautiful thing. So now let me ask you, on your Facebook page, is this a picture of you and, a little sister? Because I can recognize your face, you know, as a child.
That's me and you're making a baby picture of myself. And okay, there's a baby picture of me. Then there's a picture of myself and five with my little brother. He was 4 years old. This is in Memphis, Tennessee, and I remember getting on the back of the bus with my mother when we went to get that picture taken. So that's who that is. He looks cool, fine. That blonde hair, Susan.
So when people get to your Facebook page, that's what they'll see. They'll see that the old black and white photo in the backdrop of yourself, charming little girl you were. And then, of course, they're going emblem of your Facebook page, which is a flying eagle.
I think my daughter put it on
it's a dove in flight. The background of the sky. So that's what people are going to see. Minister Cynthia Marie Williams. And, of course, you want to scroll down to where you will see the photo of your husband, Michael Williams, and we are contributing to his memorial celebration organized by Cynthia Williams. And, of course, all you have to do is just tap where it says GoFundMe.com, and it'll take you right to the page and just hit the amount you want to give, whatever it is, and, you know, write it in and put in your information, and you can be a part of this celebration. And we're coming together as a community to remove the stress off of that family and demonstrate our love and action by helping to celebrate this wonderful man who stood by the side of our dear sister, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams. So we urge you all to do this. We'll remind you again to go to the page. And if I can figure out a way to share it from my screen to yours, we'll figure that out before the end of the show. We'll do that. And we've had some. We're gonna take a couple callers before the break. We've also had some statements come to our Facebook page. We've got some folks watching from around the world. I believe I saw a greeting from Ghana. We've got someone watching. Yes.
Yeah, greetings from Ghana.
Yeah, Benjamin Kojo Asidu. Okay.
Well, yes. And
that's in my ancestry too. That human ancestry, Nigerian, Ghana, Togo, and I actually had a nurse that was from Togo, and that girl was so beautifully black. I'm looking at her pores and everything, and I told her. I said, I looked at my color, which was a caramel color. I said, should I be mad? She said, no. No.
She was beautiful
and black. Yes, the beautiful.
We have Tasha Salvage joining us this morning.
Oh, good morning, Tasha.
From South Carolina. Carolyn Heron, The Warrior Speaks, that's what she said, just from Jacksonville. As well as, let's see here, I think Jody was also on.
Georgia.
And Javonna Howard from Atlanta.
All right.
Absolutely.
Got folks from all across the nation and across
That's
the world.
Right.
So, yes, we And we appreciate all of you who have joined us today, because we want this to be a time of spiritual
celebration.
So let me take this first caller here, 336-350, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Dr. Lachaise?
Yes, ma'am. This is our wonderful Mama AZ from Arizona.
Yes. Greetings. I tuned in a little bit late. I had a challenging night. But, however, this is so awesome. The Creator woke me up in time to not miss the whole thing with Minister. Minister, I've been reaching out to you. However, phone communication is crazy. I don't know how to go up on that. I need to have a reason with you. Family,
okay.
and you too, Dr. Green, you've been
okay.
in my mind as well to connect with Minister and you, because there's something that the tall ones are asking me or guiding me to have a reasoning with you, Dr. Green, and you, Minister, to bring forth. This is so metaphysical. And even last night on the show, on another show, Sister Seta of the chemistry files peeped in. And I knew then that the tall ones were communicating with me short of a lightning bolt upside my head. Well, today, family, is a 7. If you add up all the digits, it will come to a 7. That's my life path number. And that's Dr. Z's life path number. She's to be included in this too. And Minister, I want to say to you, you are so much a part of my journey. It's unreal how you came to me on Dr. Lateef's show and encouraged me to come out of the closet. And I don't mean being gay, family. I am talking about working with the Ascended Masters and working with the metaphysicians like us from all over the world in this body. You see, everybody seems to flow and roll with Caucasian people, whatever they say, like Cryon, who's Lee Carroll, all of these people who channels Jesus, and all of these. I want to say this. This is Mama Bonfire AZ, Robert Lee Parris is who I came to the planet as, my birth given name. Ones like Minister, it's time in this melanated body for us to get off of this God dang banner of being so dumbed down by Christian beliefs and all of this, and bring the metaphysicians' information that we have within us out. Again, today is a 7. My life path is a 7. And it's not only Caucasian people who have information or informations or knowledges metaphysically. It's all of us. It's the Bobby Hemmings. It's the Phil Valentines. It's especially Dr. Blair, Delbert Blair. The man was so off the chain with knowledges, it was unreal. And look these people up, people. I'm saying this today. And thank us for you, Minister, because I'm facing some challenges that are unfreaking believable. And because of this show today, it has helped me to air my balls up once again and say, oh, no, I'm not going out like this. I won't get into it right now, family. I just want to say thank us for this day and being here on this group. And we all chose to come here at this particular time to be present on the Female Solution on this day. It's some powerful energies in a melanation station body that's present at this Kitchen Table University, at the Soul, at the Female Solutions Boot Camp campsite. I mean that, okay? So I know there are other people on the line at the Kitchen Table University, so I'll be silent and thank us. I love us, Minister.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, we gotta take another break. But when we come back, I want to explore the point that you made, because I think the challenge that we have as we evolve in our spiritual understanding is coming up against old traditional religious teachings that make it something fearful if you are, in fact, aware of your connection to the spirit realm. And over the centuries, people who have retained those gifts have been attacked and vilified and shamed and even killed. So we have a history of the knowledge versus fear teachings. And now is the time for us to transcend that fear-based teaching. But it is difficult because you have many people who have had ingrained in them that anything that is beyond the traditional religious beliefs of, you know, you live your life one time, you die, either you go to heaven or hell, and that's it. You know, if you're saying something other than that, then they've been frightened and conditioned to believe that it's something evil about you. And that's, how do we overcome that in order to help our people evolve into that higher consciousness that will empower them to truly create the kind of reality we want to experience? So I'd like to take a look at that when we get back. And, of course, you're listening to and watching Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And we've got with us our guest today, Minister Cynthia Marie Williams. We want you to go to her Facebook page, Cynthia Marie Williams. Minister is abbreviated, M-I-N, Cynthia Marie Williams on Facebook. Scroll down, you see that wonderful, handsome picture of her husband. Tap the GoFundMe link and give generously. We're celebrating his life. And we'll be right back after this quick break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Other evolved societies cannot come in and help us.
But if you choose to incarnate and live among the people, then you can influence from the inside. So that was the decision that was made by what, you know, Minister Cynthia refers to as the ascended masters, those who are on a higher spiritual level that are kind of supervising a lot of planetary activities. Those souls who are spiritually evolved enough chose to come into a physical body during this time to influence the society, influence life, to help bring awareness, help bring spiritual evolution, so that we would change the direction of the planet, change its trajectory, which was going towards self-destruction, which many have seen. Many have seen that particular timeline where we blow up the planet, and that's where we were headed. So the decision was made to stop that from happening by those who had evolved enough in their spiritual journey, which is an eternal journey in many different places around the universe, but those who were ready to accept the challenge of this very negative environment coming into this environment and helping to change it. And so those of us who are here that are doing this work, we are those souls that made that decision. We made the decision to come through the families that we came through because we're coming to heal certain trauma that has been part of our lineage. And we're here to influence the nation that we chose to be born into because of its violent past. But this is happening all over the world because all over the world we've had violence, we've had destruction, we've had cruelty. So people who've chosen families that have been particularly traumatized and have had generations of abuse, emotional trauma, dysfunction, we're coming to heal the family, heal the family line, as well as the community in which we were born. And it's very challenging if you have chosen to be born into a family that is very destructive, but you know that you're spiritually evolved enough to infuse your love energy that will help heal them who are suffering from a wounded past and are self-destructive. So many of us who are spiritually aware, we wonder, well, how did I end up with these people that I'm living with? How did I end up marrying this person? You know, how did I end up with this kind of a trauma that I'm going through?
Oh, my family.
Your soul knew that you could handle it, and you could change the direction of the lives of the people that you touch by the strength of your spirit. So that's who we are. That's why we're finding each other. That's why we're here. Yes. And I think Mama AZ wanted to.
I want to say this quick. I just want to say this quickly. When I was 4 or 5 years old, I used to live in the closet and talk to the beer and the wine bottles that were from my mom because my mom was an alcoholic. Well, I would stack those bottles up like they were my people in my classroom, and I would talk to them. And one day there was the ascended master. He was in a toga and sandals, and we had a reasoning, and I begged him at that age. I begged him to take me back. I didn't want to be in this family because everybody was so dysfunctional. And I said, "Why? Please, I want to go back. I can't take this." And he pat me on my head. I would never forget this. It's like it happened just yesterday. And he said, "Little one, dear one, you chose this. You chose this, and you have everything that you need within you to handle this." I said, "Please, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this." He said, "But you chose this journey." Mm-hmm. And he laughed. He said, but it was a heart laugh. He says, "It's going to be all right. You will get through this." And then I turned your show on, and Minister was there. And I never will forget this, family. But you're right, Dr. Lateef.
That's
a challenge. You know what I said, Naima? Yes. Okay, that's it. I know you have other callers.
I love you too.
Thank us. I'll mute.
Well, you know, Viata said, you want to be there? She says, Viata Robinson says, this CE5, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind experience is showing humans that ETs are indeed helping us heal planet Earth and its inhabitants. And you know, and that's another thing. You know, we're challenged with those who are still connected with other realms, those who are spiritually ready to acknowledge other people from other places that are, and all of them are kind of like rooting for us. Come on, you can pull us out of this. You can do it. So they're there trying to send us their love energy, their help, and you know they're kind of testing where we are because you need to have a certain percentage of people that are aware before they would even attempt global contact. Because yeah. Right now we've been programmed with all these scary stories of extraterrestrials coming to take over and enslave us and kill us and all that. It was to program fear into us so that we would fear anyone coming to help. But now if you've got neighbors who have technology beyond yours that can help you clean up the air that you messed up, clean up the water that you messed up, repair the bodies that you've abused, they can do this, but they can't do it if you've been conditioned to be afraid of them because you see them as some kind of monster that's going to kill you. So they have to kind of wait until we, who are aware, can help the rest of the population raise its consciousness out of fear and into the understanding that this is a universe built from love. God is not a vengeful, angry man who's going to kill us or throw us into a lake of fire and all of this business. But this is a universe that is an entire system, and it is peopled by those many who have evolved to a point where they know that we're all interconnected, we're all part of each other. So they're here to help with the knowledge that they have. There's only a certain level of knowledge that you will even be able to receive if you are violent. And some of the things that we've been given, some of the things that have been shared with us in the past, such as atomic energy, has been used for violence. So it could have been used to do a lot of other things for you know, free energy and travel and all that. But instead, if you've got a society based on fear, that every new discovery gets used as a weapon because you're always thinking, I got to kill my enemies. So that's how come we haven't evolved as a society. That's how come we've messed up the planet, because we haven't understood the principle of unity. And so the people who want to help us, who are outside of our realm, who have evolved to that level of understanding, they can't openly do it. They can appear to certain people who are ready to receive messages, but then even those people get accused of being crazy and all of that. So we've had decades of people who've had sightings, who've had memories of when they were taken aboard ships and you know, interacted with beings, but if they try to talk to somebody about it, they get accused of insanity. So Dolores Cannon, the hypnotherapist, the government actually had her involved in some of the UFO events so she could take people back into a hypnotic state where they could remember those experiences and talk about it without fear. But the government is still thinking, well, you know, we still can't openly acknowledge it, because we got to treat people like they're stupid or keep them in a state of fear so they can be controlled. Because, you know, as long as you have people that are thinking, how can I control the masses, then we can never evolve spiritually. So we as a people, we have to learn that we have the power to control our own lives. Nobody is an all-powerful being over the source of all life. And we have to be willing to grow in understanding and grow out of fear-based religious teachings that won't let us acknowledge the various dimensions of existence and the various beings that exist in those dimensions, and the fact that we have a choice on how we're going to direct the future of planet Earth. We don't have to let people blow it up.
Yeah, I would love for her to comment on that, Minister Williams, what she thinks planetarian contributions is for our present moment in time.
Well, Naima knows that I've been in a spaceship myself. When I was a little girl, 3 and 4 years old, I was putting down, my grandmother would put me, just message to the city where I was coming to the earth as being born. By a midwife, Dr. Green, you're right. I think that's beautiful. And we came in through that natural feminine vibration of who and what we are today. But here's the thing. I went to sleep, but that was not the first time I had done what they call an out-of-body. And I never was comfortable with out-of-body, but what caused me to have that is I went to sleep, I woke up, and I will say now I was in a spaceship. Now, I'm 3-4 years old. I haven't been to school yet. And I'm looking at these beings, and remember, I've just come from the other side. I'm into the human physical body. And I started to get frightened, scared, frightened. They would not allow me to. And they touched me. And if you want to say psychically touched me, they filled me with so much love, so much peace. They would not allow me to be frightened. Then they started telepathically talking to me, and they showed me, as I say, the earth. And they showed me and said, we were not happy with the, with the human beings we had before. So we have seeded these human beings. So then they showed me it didn't say atomic bomb, fire, water, and earthquakes on certain parts of the earth. It showed me those three things. So then I like the name of the thing. And in the spaceship, I'm looking out. Then they decided to take me, and I guess being my old self, I like to say sometimes some people are thinking invisible. If you're going to use the term, not ghost, but invisible. They started carrying me out amongst the stars and moons. Then I got scared, and I went right back into my body, and I was on the pallet that my grandmother had affixed me. So I told a friend of mine who was part of that kind of culture, too, here in Chicago, that it frightened me to do out-of-body, because when they took me back to myself, invisible, flying amongst the stars, that I got scared then. But as long as I was in that spaceship with them, they would not allow me to be frightened. And they did not look like the Steven Spielberg blues and grays that Dr. Delbert Ware, who I finally met here in Chicago, talked about. They look different. They're so, and Naima knows, all of those beings out here in this universe do not always look the same. They look different.
There are many different races of beings.
Yes, there is.
I've seen some. I can tell y'all how the one I met looked. Yeah. I had an interesting encounter with a being one evening. I entered another dimension, and I met this gentleman who was about my height and weight. He had kind of a goldish-green complexion, and he looked like a praying mantis, which if you've ever seen that thing, you know, the insect-looking type person, you know, big, you know, eyes and all of that. And I tell you, you know, in my mind, you remember that scene in Color Purple when Celia opened the door and Suge says, "You sure is ugly," and that was that was the thought in my mind, you know. But I realized we were communicating telepathically, and I did not want to hurt his feelings. Because I thought, well, he's probably thinking the same thing about me, you know, because I'm looking different than his kind of people. So you know how you put a blank look on your face when you're talking to somebody who's very unattractive, but you don't want to hurt their feelings. You just kind of like, oh, you know, you don't go, ew, you know, because you don't want to hurt their feelings, right? So that's what I was doing as we were communicating, you know, not letting on my feeling about his physical appearance, but spiritually, very friendly kind of guy, you know, really nice and pleasant. You know, I could feel his sense of humor, and I guess we kind of had the same, yes, and it, we kind of had the same sort of vibe, like sort of a teacher-type person, you know, that you like to share information, you know, maybe, and so I was thinking, well, maybe he's the kind of person who kind of travels to different places and meets people and shares
green.
Stuff. Yes, greenish gold, yeah.
Greenish
gold complexion, yeah, so, and you know, he's saying to me, you know, in my world, we had the same problems you had. We had crime, violence, and poverty.
Okay.
But now everybody lives in peace. I said, oh, okay. So I said, well, what did you all do to solve the problems? And he just said, we followed our prophet. You know, and I understood that everybody has some spiritual leader that gives them insight, and all you, if you follow what they teach you, then you can fix your society. And I thought, well, you know, here on earth, anybody who claimed to be a prophet from God or whatever is always attacked or killed. So that's how come we haven't been able to fix things. We don't ever follow ours, you
that's
know.
Right.
And it was so simple. So, you know, and that experience, I mean, it stayed with me because I realized that that was to help me understand what our mission is to to share those teachings that the prophets
when I said our whole goal is to evolve to ethereal level where we can vibrate this planet, this universe, on that higher level of love.
Well, you know, another thing
but
that
I wouldn't judge the book by I would have to just sit there for a moment so I could consciously understand what I'm saying.
Well, you know, another thing, because there are a lot of people who are channeling beings, you know, from other realms, but they're not seeing them. And I think because they know how to, you know, change their vibration so you could physically see them, but they choose not to because they may know people aren't ready for that because it is frightening. I mean, we're still fighting over skin color. We're the same species. And, oh, he's black, he's white, you know. So you can imagine somebody looking like insectoid or something. How would you deal with that? But I think he knew because I had been through the experience of having been teased as a child for being ugly and all of that, that I would be sensitive to somebody who looked different and not freak out about it because I know how it feels for people to make fun of you because of the way you look. So I think that's why he came to me and allowed us to be able to meet in a realm where I could see him.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm always coming in contact.
I have an associate Pluto channel in our area. And in this Earth experience, she was a Mormon in Utah. That's that group I had went to the universe about. I wanted to be a part of a group like I had been with my Mississippi, Alabama women that mentored me. And I ended up in a multicultural group of people who had gifts. And Harriet, Polish, I can't even spell her last name, let alone pronounce it that well. But she was telling me that she had been black in another life, but also in the group, she was from Utah. She had been a Mormon all her life, and she had to leave the Mormon faith. Her daughters lived in Iowa, I mean, whatever, but here's the point. She was Caucasian, and she was a channel, and that was my first experience actually meeting someone who, you know, was really not the first, the second time meeting someone that was a channeler. So thank you for educating me as to that proposition, but she did give her readings also. Beautiful woman. She told me, Naima, I was supposed to write 3 books. I haven't written the first one yet.
It's in your mind, so it exists. We just manifest the physical form of it, but it's already there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's time for us to take our last break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, feel free to call 515-605-9325. Yeah, we can introduce you to some more little green men. And actually, this one was tall, though. It was even about my height. But, yeah, so that was interesting.
Oh, my God.
The kind of spirit he had. You know, I'd marry that man. I don't know what our children would look
like. That was a bad girl. Yeah.
But we'll be back after this quick break. And we want you to go to Facebook and go to Minister, that's M-I-N, Cynthia Marie Williams. Scroll down till you see that tall, handsome picture of her husband and tap the GoFundMe. And that will bring up the page where you can contribute to his upcoming memorial service. And Minister Cynthia is going to tell us about the day and time of that for those who are in the Chicago area and want to attend to celebrate the life of a great man, a great companion who was suddenly taken from us.
Thank you. Very devoted to me, too. I'm
we can talk about it. So we'll be right back after this last break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Pull up the
That's what I thought. It just pull up the Yeah, it's like...
Well, let's see, did you click on the actual word to say GoFundMe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did. Maybe I'll kind of go back and see if I can maneuver, go to the GoFundMe page and then put that in instead of, because when I'm clicking it, it takes me back
to Facebook
to my account, say I need to switch accounts to do that. I guess, I don't know why it says that, but anyway, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I will figure it out. So, like I said, I think the greatest thing about our triumphant spirit is our soul journey. Our soul journey is a spiritual pathway of different experiences, you know, such as good, bad, you know, disappointments, and triumphant successes. And I often find, I guess, in my line of work and career, that somehow, again, we tend to lose ourselves in certain experiences and not realizing that it's just an experience.
Yeah.
It does not mean that that's your whole entire life.
Yeah.
And when we relive those things, knowingly or even not knowingly, volunteer or even non-volunteer, you know, continually living patterns of things, of experiences, of other people's lives as well as our lives. And when I find that someone would go into a state of depression or anxiety or any emotional disturbance of any kind, I always ask them and I say, okay, where are you in time? You have to know where you are in time. Because if the present moment is not giving you, I mean, that present second, because time is constantly moving, we can't keep up with time, no matter how much we try. Because it's constantly moving. So what does that mean? It's like your present moment is always shifting. Even to this right now, it's constantly moving, whether we realize it or not. So I often ask the person, where are you in your moment in time? Because if you're in your past moment where something occurred that disturbed you traumatically, crisis, abuse, or whatever the case may be, and if you're feeling that moment of despair or any type of sorrow, it's because you're back in time.
Wow.
You're not in your present moment.
Going
cause
back
if
to
it's
that
not
moment. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, that's why the present moment is the most healing moment at all times, because we have to always remember our minds don't shift like gears of a car. We are the ones that shift the mind. We are the conscious. That's why we were given this wonderful thing called choice.
Yes.
Choice then actually starts the movement of decision. Because if you don't make the choice, the decisions are going to move with or without your permission, because time is moving those decisions. But the choice of the matter is, if I choose to stay in this moment of time with this particular situation, then I am going to collide in my present moment.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Staying in the past,
you know,
it pollutes the present.
Well, because you're going to collide, because time says, time can either be your best friend or your worst enemy.
Yeah. Yes.
Time says to move. You have to move in essence and flow. You have to give permission to time, you have to accept time, and you also got to be totally volunteer and surrender to it. Because if you don't surrender to it, then you know, you're trying to control it, and no one can control time.
Can't control
it's constantly
time.
Moving with or without your permission. So,
that is true.
So, which means that wherever you find yourself at, if it's a place of discomfort, you have to ask yourself, what is occurring back there, because guess what, it is back there, because
right.
It's not in the
not
present
right
moment,
here.
That what's causing you to hold on to that mentally and emotionally.
Right.
Because physically, you're not holding on to it.
Right. It's not there. It happened already. And if you're worried about something, that's in the future. So that hasn't happened yet. So you're still not being in the present moment where everything really is okay right now at this moment.
And worry really doesn't even exist, because if you're obsessing on anything, again, it is something in your past. So in your present moment, it's still not a worry. Even if something happens at that particular second, it's still moving.
Right.
It's still moving with or without our permission. So in other words, if we keep ourselves ebbed and flow, I call it to understand the current of life. Life has a current. And see, one thing about Minister Williams, she understands the current of life.
Mm-hmm.
The current of life says that one must be totally aware of their present moment, their present time form, and everything is time sensitive, no matter what it is.
So is trauma when you get stuck at a moment in time that was perhaps painful or upsetting and you can't move your mind away from it? Say maybe somebody has, maybe they've had an encounter with a robber, you know, somebody pull a gun on them and you know, frighten them, and then, of course, took their money, and they're still traumatized, afraid to go outside because they can't move beyond that moment in time. They keep replaying it and keep reliving it, and so they're stuck there. Is that what trauma is, when you're stuck in a difficult moment in time?
Well, yes, it is. It's a form of being stuck, but one thing about the human mind, Naima, what it does, it gravitates to more negative energy than it does positive energy if you're not driving it.
Mm.
You have to drive. The conscious mind, eyes wide open, drives the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally drives it. It moves us, because we can only make conscious decisions that will change life with our eyes open.
Mm.
We cannot make it with our eyes closed. Like, even in a dream, you can make decisions, you can make choices, but that does not mean that it's going to change your reality.
Mm.
The only way to change reality is make those conscious choices, being totally awake mentally, and be mentally aware, spiritually aware, and emotionally aware of what your being is doing.
Yeah.
Not your doing being, but what your being is doing.
Because
it guides you. Like I said, a car cannot move unless you put it into a force of gear.
Right. Got to put it in drive.
You can stay neutral if that's what you want to, but guess what? It's not going to move.
Right.
And so time is steady going on. If that's what you want to do, you can stay where you are by choice. And so what happens is, with trauma, because people get so comfortable with pain to the point where they hold on to pain, and they practice it, and it becomes habitual.
Mm.
And so now, when it becomes habitual, they fall into these areas of oppression, leading to a depression state.
Depression. Yes.
Right, because the being can't move. It's the body is moving, but the inner being is stuck into an area of what they call non-life form. And the only thing you can do is deteriorate, because we are designed to keep moving. That's the reason why we are in evolution and in time. You know, like, our descendants will continue to move on as well, you know, in a physical sense. As long as this earth is turning, it'll keep moving, because the earth is constantly revolving.
Yes.
And we are also supposed to be revolving. And sometimes in our spiritual sense, as we evolve, we get the opportunity to experience different life forms, as you said, experiences. But then at the brink of existence, we are still, again, evolving constantly.
Yes. Evolving.
Like right now, I'm evolving, and it's like our seasons in, our seasons out. We have seasons of just total pivoting. We are pivots. Which means it's not that we're just staying in one area. No, we're going back and forth.
Yeah.
We're going back and forth, and then we move on. Now, for some people, they stay in that pivot for too long.
Mm.
And when they stay in that for too long, then, again, one doesn't expand. One doesn't grow. communication, which is dysfunctions or defectiveness.
Mm. So, you know, one thing that I have observed about experiences and also something that hypnotherapist Dolores Cannon discovered as her clients talked about why they chose certain life experiences that were difficult once she took them to the deep hypnotic state and they were able to go back to the subconscious mind and realize that they chose various challenges. Our whole purpose for being here is to master different situations and still come out of it with a loving spirit and even a forgiving spirit for those who might still be functioning at a level of unawareness. But it's to discover those things such as you are not this body you're living in. You are the eternal spirit inside the body, and you are connected with all life, and you are to be of service wherever you live to those other beings. So what she discovered is that when people make choices to have a very difficult life experience, it's like if you've ever been in high school and they offer AP classes, you know, advanced placement classes where you can get college credit, so you know once you, you know, finish the semester, you're so far ahead because you've taken on this challenging course. It's the same thing with life. If you want to grow spiritually to a higher level, and we're constantly growing to higher and higher spiritual levels, then you choose a lot of challenging circumstances. You choose a lot of things to overcome. So you're doing that knowing that once you get out of this life experience, you know, if you get a good grade on your challenge, you know, you're able to come out of it and still be a loving, kind being, then you have elevated your spiritual state. So for those who really want to grow exponentially during this lifetime, they've taken on major challenges. They've taken on having family members that are abusive. They've taken on physical ailments. They've taken on times of poverty and distress. And they've taken on being of a group that gets discriminated against. They've taken on all these different things, all these major AP classes, you know, the advanced placement spiritual classes that they've taken on. They've taken on this challenge because after this life experience, they want to be at an elevated spiritual level because they mastered these things. And that's why they chose these things. Now, of course, the challenge of the Earth School is that once you are embodied, you don't remember this. You don't remember that you chose this. You don't remember that you wanted to experience these things because you believed your soul was ready to accept this challenge. So that's why as we all evolve in our understanding and our memory of this, we can begin to share this knowledge so that people who are really struggling and they can't figure out why am I going through this, I just want to die, and they're at the point of being suicidal because they don't see any end to this. Like, why am I suffering and suffering and suffering? Well, it's for a reason. Your soul wants to grow. Your soul wants to master this so that you as a soul can be that much further on your journey. It's not a punishment from God. It's not because you're a bad person. You chose this because you knew you could master it, and you have the capacity to do it. So people who reach that point of despair is because they've forgotten. They don't know, and they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and they just feel like, I just want to die. I want to end it. I don't want to be here. So we have an opportunity to help them remember that this is, as you said, this is something you're experiencing, but you're not going to be living through this pain always.
Continue moving There's the time sensitive on it's time sensitive. And we have to understand that great persecution, trials, and tribulations bring great strength.
Yes.
They do. We don't want to go through the hardship of anything.
Right.
Really and truly, if it was up to any person that walks with them, nobody wants to feel any type of pain. Of any type, I mean, but at the same token, it's inevitable. It's going to happen in some way.
Right. I think we got a comment from, is that Mama AZ?
It is. Dr. Lateef, thank you. Thank us for you reminding me on this seventh day. Thank us. Thank us, Dr. Green. Peace.
We got a caller on the line. I believe we've got our sister of the microphone, Viata, at 407-701, Grand Rising. We've opened your mic. Give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising, I just thought about how beautiful Minister Cynthia's testimony is after the passing of her husband. And this morning, one of my Facebook friends posted something about good death. She was offended by people using good morning because she said it's an oxymoron to say good morning. And she quoted some Rastafarian who was also offended at the term good morning because it represents to her good death. But my comment to her was that I had a good morning when my father passed at 95 years old. I did not have to be teary-eyed for 30 days to 40 days, whatever. My father gave me so much, and I turned the morning into gratitude. And this person who posted this quote is very rejecting any idea of coming out of her morning after her son died of an overdose of opiates. So, Dr. Green, I want to ask you about patients or people you have talked to who have a struggle with mourning and how that interferes with their growth. Because you were just talking about how we are growing, we're evolving, and when we don't grow and evolve, how that affects us. So how do you counsel your patients who stay in mourning for a long period of time?
Good question.
Well, mourning is a stage of grief, right? And the stages of grief is one of those things that everyone grieves in their own way, right? And and everything is time sensitive if they understand and have awareness of the time sensitive on these things. So if we could just take that, for example, and how people will hold on to, say, okay, if we're just dealing with death, because see, grief is in many, many different things. So, and mourning is in many, many different things. Mourning is just what it is. You have this remorse state. You have this oppressed type of heaviness that is carried with this experience. So when one holds on mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even physical, because the physical man is going to hold on to it when the mind holds on to it, when the heart holds on to it, this particular experience. Now, again, everything is time sensitive, so which means that particular situation has already been felt, it's already been experienced, and to its intensity, you have the primary grief or the primary mourning, which is immediately upon happening of that experience. And then you have secondary. Secondary is the new normal of that particular grief or that situation continuing down what they call the time-sensitive line of that person's life. For example, if I lost a loved one 2 weeks ago in death, regardless of what type of death it was, okay, I am considered going through a grief period. That grief period is going to be determined on how I filter it throughout my being, okay? So which means how I'm looking at it mentally, how I'm looking and feeling it emotionally, how my spirit is understanding what has happened to me. My body is just going to replicate all of those things. So if my mind is really in turmoil, then my heart is going to be in turmoil and follow suit. So the mind has to be able to filter the situation to the point where it is not something permanent. Okay, if I accept it as a permanent state, I will hold on to it much longer than what time says I need to hold on to it. And if I stay there, it will become an habitual habit of holding on to that particular experience, and then by choice, involuntarily, I am making that choice to bring on the decisions of holding on to that feeling of oppression, feeling of heaviness, feeling of even going into a depressed state, because one of the grief stages is depression. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So if I get stuck there because I physically, in my mind, don't have that person here, and so I choose to not move because I'm still holding on to the physical sense. Okay, now, that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is, and as I do grief counseling in that area, I often tell my clients and my patients that the bloodline lives on. So, which means that when you hold on to that moment of time of not having that person, you will continue to mourn that physical being. But if you allow yourself to move day by day and understand that the bloodline, the soul tie that you have to this individual lives on through you. You are the breathing person. You are the spiritual being that's moving in light and in time for this particular person. So what am I saying? That am I carrying that inside of me? Absolutely. Am I breathing for that person to a certain degree? Yes, I am, because I'm still living. So they will want you to live on and not just live on as a depressed, oppressed, mourning, stricken person, but live in the form of lightness, live in the form of productivity, live in the form of just allowing them to live through you and to experience and continue to experience the life that they might have not had physically, but still have spiritually. So that's how I move them through that process. And it is a process that they have to make a decision. Once they make the decision on releasing it mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, releasing that physical person from their being, then what happens is they slowly but surely start moving in time and in sequence into their recovery. That's how it works. But they have to know that they're not just living alone anymore. Just because you don't physically see that person, that does not mean that that person is no longer present.
That's the lesson to
that's
learn.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That's beautiful.
I'm a witness of that. My mother passed away, and I say passed away, which means she evolved.
Yes.
Death is evolving. It is not.
Yes.
It is not a state of mourning. It's evolving because you physically are not walking in gravity on this earth anymore. You are then in light years. That means you can move in space and time. My mother convinced me of that. She moves around me. Most of all, she comes in and out of my dreams to let me know that she is at present peace.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
Yes.
I'm good with that. So whenever someone exits, I often say, you know, I congratulate you. I don't mourn your existence. I am totally in gratitude with you.
Yes.
To travel, because you're traveling now places that I can't travel yet.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's interesting how it's interesting how people deal with death, because it's a part of our life for the last thousands of years, but yet everybody deals with it differently. Many people can't handle it. Many people accept it. Many people, like we say, mourn forever, but it's a part of our journey here on earth, and yet so many people just can't handle death, period. Transition, however we call it.
That's it.
It's like graduation. You're going to school to graduate. That's why you're going.
And the fear that causes them to feel that way, too, really quick. It's the fear of not having their life anymore. And because they want to touch that person. They want to speak to that person. And they can still, you know, do speak to them, but they just can't touch them physically.
Well, you know, that's the problem. We get attached to the physical world, the third dimension. That's why we got to get out. And we're so attached to this third dimension that when something leaves that we've been loving and adoring, we can't handle it. But this is the reality. I thank you both for sharing all this wisdom on this topic. And we need to discuss it often because people can't deal poorly with it, I would say, or have unhealthy.
Thank you, Minister.
Yes.
Williams, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your world.
Yes, we thank you. And if you were on the switchboard and didn't get a chance to speak, join us again tomorrow for Health and Well-Being with Viata right here on The Female Solution. And feel free to call on in at 515-605-9325, 7 to 9 a.m. Central,
and
8 to 10 a.m.
Send me her number. I don't know, did you give me that number before? If you could send me.
I'll send it to you.
Yes.
I will certainly do that and make sure you all connect.
And thank you, Facebook fam. I appreciate you joining us today. See you next Thursday. Have a blessed, wonderful weekend.
And enjoy, enjoy, enjoy.
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.